Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, and I'm now joined by Martin Lewis, who's a US-based English humorist, writer, radio and TV host, and producer. He is known for his work in a variety of projects, including co-creating and co-producing, along with John Cleese, The Secret Policeman's Ball, benefits show for Amnesty International. He appears regularly on television and writes prolifically for The Huffington Post and other publications. Welcome to Background Briefing, Martin Lewis.
Very good to be with you on this joyous, joyous occasion.
And I imagine, Martin, you have your alarm set for dawn, where you'll get up faithfully, watch the festivities along with...
I don't think I could sleep for about 3 or 4 days. I'm that excited.
And does it strike you as somewhat strange that the American cousins have embraced royalty with such fidelity, in spite of the fact that they fought a revolution against the British aristocracy?
No, not at all. I mean, one of the reasons why I love America so much is we're full of contradictions in this country. And, of course, America is just like a version of Britain, but without the class. So it's very natural that Americans should gravitate towards the British royal family.
But, I mean, I think our media is even more slavish than the British media. I mean, you can't escape this sycophantic coverage.
It's wonderful. Yes, you're quite right. I think it's basically because you want to be dominated by us again. You're really waiting for us to take over America and declare it not the United States, but the British states.
So, in other words, the British do royalty better, they do class better, they do privilege better. Is it something about... I thought America was an egalitarian state based on a meritocracy. I'm dreaming, am I?
No. That we are. America's based on a meritocracy. Britain's based on benign, or sometimes not so benign, autocracy. What we really crave is to be dominated, and the British do domination and dysfunction better than anybody. I mean, I defy even the Charlie Sheen, Martin Sheen family cannot match the dysfunction of the British royal family. You have to give it to us.
Well, let's talk a little about that. Again, I'm speaking with humorist and writer Martin Lewis. I guess you can't top Fergie, right? Having secret phone calls that were tapped, where she's offering up access to her ex-husband for hundreds of thousands of dollars, and now we find out her ex-husband Prince Andrew, who is the Queen's favorite apparently, has a close friendship with a U.S. billionaire who is a convicted sex offender, Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh yes, and of course Fergie was very famously caught topless, having her toes sucked by a close personal tax advisor, a gentleman from Texas. There's always been, dating back to Wallace Simpson, there's always been this great affection between the British royals and the Americans. And, hey, if you can get your toes sucked by a tax advisor, I've tried, mine won't, do mine. I think, what's wrong with that?
Well, I guess Wallace Simpson took the cake. I mean, she was a friend of Hitler's to boot. I mean, she was quite a piece of work.
But, I mean, if you're going to be a Nazi sympathizer, at least look good at the time. I mean, I think that the royal family lately has had some bad press. I mean, for example, Prince Harry did get into trouble for wearing a swastika armband to a party. But come on, he was just simply honoring his pedigree. They are basically a bunch of German imports. They're not really the British royal family at all. They only go back 150 years. So he was just paying homage to his lineage.
And why is it then, Martin Lewis, that the royals escaped after World War One? Because World War One was essentially an argument within the same royal family that broke out into a world war in which millions of young men on both sides were senselessly slaughtered. And yet nobody seemed to blame the royals for foisting this squabble on humanity.
Very good brand management. Basically, their name was Battenberg, and they changed it to Mountbatten. Brilliant, you see. If you change the name, you get away with murder.
Well, mass murder in this case. But in terms of dysfunction, I hadn't finished the list here, particularly with Prince Andrew. He's apparently won't turn away a business opportunity. He also entertained leading members of the deposed Tunisian regime at Buckingham Palace. And he was a close friend of Gaddafi's son, Saif, and a convicted Libyan gun smuggler, Tariq Khatoumi.
And your point is what?
Well, I suppose when you consider that Saif Gaddafi's father, Muammar Gaddafi, the Libyan dictator, was responsible for bombing the airplane over Lockerbie, Scotland, that killed some of Queen Elizabeth's subjects.
But I don't think any members of the royal family died in that accident, therefore, or incident. So I really don't think. I think you're being too harsh on them. I mean, if any member of the British royal family had died at Lockerbie, you could understand them being a little peeved. But frankly, this was just subjects, and they're up to 60 million at the moment, so they can spare a few subjects.
I see, and you think that being in business is more important than having business connections. I mean, why do these people like unsavory dictators and American sex offenders want to go in business with Prince Andrew, do you think?
Well, I think it's just the glamour of the possibility of going to Windsor Castle. Listen, by the way, I do have to say that there's been a lot of disinformation coming out of Britain lately. You've probably seen a lot of talk about a bad economy and unemployment figures. I just want you to know that all these bad economic figures and unemployment numbers are really just a device, a distraction to take people's minds off the royal wedding.
Well, I think isn't austerity in the British DNA? I mean, I think they're no longer rationing in World War II, but they're ready to go back to that, aren't they?
Oh yes, but listen, it's a snip at the price. I mean, it costs about $3 billion a year, which is slightly cheaper than sending the British Army abroad to be killed. So I mean, I think you've got to look at it that way. It brings in the tourists, and it's got to be good for the economy generally.
And I'm just curious why you're not there. I mean, do you feel a little ashamed that you're not over there?
No, somebody has to sort of be the outpost of the British royal family in Los Angeles, and that's me. I'm also here to defend them wherever. For example, there have been some scurrilous things said about Princess Catherine, as she will be, Kate. Some people said that she used some low, underhanded device to grab the attention of Prince William. She apparently wore a see-through dress and her bra and panties were on display. And they say that this is somehow bad. Don't they understand that after Diana's death, Prince William was raised by nannies and was at a boys-only school, a boarding school. And she was the first female under the age of 93 that he'd actually seen in 10 years. And really, I mean, I think you've got to honour their loyalty because some members of the British aristocracy are very loyal to the first brassiere they see, and he's stayed true to her for 11 years now.
Well, I think given what goes on in British boarding schools, where the boys' first sexual experience tend to be with their prefects, I think we should be celebrating the fact that Prince William has perhaps a heterosexual bent.
Bent is not the word I would use, but yes, I agree with you. The other thing, the other criticism that's been coming out, and I think it's also a horrible canard, is that some people have said that one of the two families in this union is diluting itself in some way, that one of the families has obviously got many years of a tradition of public service, and the other one is rather a revist, a kind of nouveau riche, or nouveau gauche, in fact. But I think this is unfair. It is true that the Middleton family has over 10,000 hours of public service as flight attendants, whereas the British royal family are really just a revis from Germany. But despite that, I don't think the Middleton family is diluting itself that much.
Well, in closing then, Martin Lewis, how do you feel about Tony Blair and Gordon Brown being not invited, shall we say, to the wedding?
Well, it's interesting because at Charles and Di's wedding, all living prime ministers were there, and this time only the Conservatives, who of course support the royal family in a much more visceral way, are invited. And Tony Blair and Gordon Brown aren't there. But you have to look at the quality of the prime ministers who are invited. Margaret Thatcher, again, has had so much negativity spoken about her over the years. But you think of how she rescued Britain from the socialist paralyzed state it was in. Before Margaret Thatcher came to power, the British soccer hooligans were ranking about third or fourth on the league table of how many soccer spectators they could murder at a game. But after about just 10 years of Margaret Thatcher's rule, our soccer hooligans, we could kill more spectators than anybody, even the Uruguayans. This was down to Thatcher's social policies.
I'm afraid we've run out of time here, and I thank you for helping us celebrate both the royal family and Margaret Thatcher, Martin Lewis.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with humorist and writer Martin Lewis. This program is available at ianmasters.com, where you can also check out my blog. I'd like to thank producer Spencer Downing and Kim Nassiter. I'd also like to remind you that I'll be broadcasting live at the Los Angeles Times Book Festival this Sunday on campus at the University of Southern California at 11 a.m. Stop by the KPFK booth. I'd love to see you there. Bye for now.